watch with me. Let's talk about it. Talk about what we've seen. Buddy watch, buddy watch, buddy watch with me. Let's get to talking. It's not just TV.
This is Buddy Watch. This is a podcast where we overanalyze what we've been watching on telly. This is our Christmas special series where we recap the ridiculous holiday Christmas made-for-TV specials that are out there. I'm Vaya. I host a podcast about Neighbours called Neighbours. Today, I've gathered three of the best humans in my life, and I somehow managed to get them all in the same room. And I'm ruining this by having made them all watch The Princess Switch on Netflix, otherwise known as That Vanessa Hudgens Christmas Thing. I have. What do you call yourself, the Australia's most beloved?
Australia's most beloved, that's all.
Australia's most beloved lesbian?
Sure. I say I'm in competition with Ruby Rose to be Australia's favourite lesbian. And it's going really well. The last couple of weeks, she's taken a nosedive.
What? Are you like tracking her, what's it called? Her hits factor. What's it called?
Clout.
Her clout.
Her hits
that's
factor.
It. Hits with a Z. I thought it was like whatever measures your followers.
Well, literally, faves. It's a fake feud that I made up.
Yeah, I know. And also, you can just change it.
Yeah. And also, for a while, she, as soon as I created it, she then went on Orange is the New Black, which means lesbian thing ever, dated a Veronica.
Like, I know, she upped the ante.
She really fucked. I was, she killed
then
me.
You had a medical crisis, so that got you then, some sympathy points.
And now she's broken up with the Veronica and it's all a mess and I think I'm coming
think,
for her.
Do you think the Veronica's ever? No, it's cool.
Anyway, that's Rebecca Shaw.
Hello.
Also known as Brockle Snitch on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You've also heard the voice of Jelly, Jelly Jellyfish.
Also known as Jelly.
Australia's favourite person known as Jelly.
And so his favourite person who is locked on Twitter.
Yes, so locked. Actually, I've got two locked. My other friend, Lucy Rogue, not your real name, which I didn't realise for about 3 years.
Yeah.
I think I did unlock my Twitter so I could tweet to a children's YouTube star.
That's
and said he would write back. His name's Blippi, and he did write back.
Oh my God. What did you write to him
your
about?
Family's entry in the Blippi fandom is a lot. Explain what Blippi is.
Yes.
A long form unboxing and driving around.
He doesn't do unboxing. Sorry. He does do driving around. Writes a lot of great songs for the 5 years and under.
What's set? Driving
They're
around?
Long form videos of just toys or trucks or whatever, or actual trucks or toys doing.
Actual.
It.
He has very high production values and did like mini documentaries for small children.
Lucy, what did you tweet to him?
That my son wanted him to come to Australia.
Okay. Yeah. Pandering.
Worth it.
Yeah. He's not coming.
Videos that are designed to be like long enough that you can walk away and do 3 loads of washing and the kid is still watching Blippi when you come back.
Yeah. You can leave Blippi on for 6 hours. I haven't tried that. I'm a good mum.
But I'd imagine once you're sleep deprived, they become weirdly soothing and hypnotic.
Yeah. I also did not know that your name wasn't Lucy Rogue until now. So we're all learning.
So the Netflix Christmas specials are upon us and these unite certain members of the public. Every now and then you'll be moving through your life and suddenly you'll be talking to someone and then you both realise that you're partial to a made-for-TV Christmas special.
Yes, definitely. You mean even before the Netflix era?
Yes, like, the Hallmark ones.
Because it was the time as a kid when you weren't at school and you could sneak and watch TV in the middle of the day because your parents were too stressed dealing with some Christmas crisis. And so you could watch like the Jack Frost
A Mum for Christmas.
Yeah, A Mum for Christmas.
Miracle on 34th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Mum for Christmas was a classic.
It's so bad.
Prancer.
Oh.
What's it?
Santa Claus, the
movie. I can guess what it's about. It's probably about Prancer.
The reindeer.
Is it animation?
No, it's a girl, a little girl, and the reindeer comes to life. And
is it old?
It's 80s, 90s.
Oh my God. I have Prancer.
I am not a Christmas special movie person, shockingly.
However,
I moved to Melbourne and I was lonely. And I watched, before I even knew you were going to do this or anyone else was watching them, I watched all of the Christmas Netflix movies.
Seriously?
Yeah. They were very comforting for some reason.
Do they have the old ones? You got into some dog ones a few years ago, Lucy.
Oh, Air Buddies. What? Well, there's a Air Buddies movie for everything and there's a really
the Golden Retrievers.
Santa Buddies. They're Golden Retriever puppies. Santa Buddies is great. They foil a robber's plot to ruin Christmas.
The puppies do?
Yeah.
Yep. On purpose?
Yes.
That's not possible.
You mean
they're talking
you can't
puppies.
Purposely foil a plan?
Puppies can't. They're talking puppies.
They're talking puppies, yes.
Okay, now I understand.
Yeah.
Do their mouths go like the creepy?
Yeah, they have creepy CG mouths. Yeah.
Ooh. Like peanut butter on Mr. Ed's teeth, that sort of situation. Yeah.
What was the one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
I'll Be Home for Christmas or something like that. Yeah.
And there was one with Thora Birch, All I Want for Christmas.
Oh, yep.
And
yep.
The Olsen twins. Grandmother's home.
To Grandmother's house we go.
Is that Thanksgiving or Christmas?
I think it's Christmas.
Home to Grandmother's home house.
I still like have a really powerful emotional connection to the Christmas episode of Full House where they get stuck in the airport.
Oh, so, devastating.
Well, I really like airports, so I was like, that seems ideal.
And almost as devastating as when Michelle, Stephanie and Jessie got locked in the garage for Michelle's third birthday.
If you Google best Full House episodes, that's always in the top three.
You think Jessie saves the day with that great party, but inside I was like, but her real party was outside and it would have been better.
I actually come from a dynasty of Christmas movie lovers because my Uncle James watches them year round and listens to Christmas music year round. He has a whole bookshelf of DVDs, Christmas movies. He used to send them to me from America when you couldn't get them here.
They're just aggressively opposed in my household. I had to do it on the down low. We were a strictly a Nine Lessons in Carols family.
So the big hit, the big sleeper hit of 2017 was A Christmas Prince.
Which I'd never heard of until the last few weeks.
Oh, I remember everyone talking about that and saying how bad it was.
And I think it trolled itself. Yeah. Like, I think six people had favourited it on Netflix and Netflix, like, tweeted out, like, what's wrong with you people? And then it exploded. And it turns out it wasn't that bad. I will be discussing in the next episode after this A Christmas Prince and its forthcoming sequel, A Christmas Prince, The Royal Wedding, with friend of the show, Charisma. Now, we are going to do our best to wade through a princess, the princess switch. I've called it 15 different things in the lead up to preparing for this episode.
Roll off the tongue. No. It's the princess witch.
Yep. Which is a problem because it doesn't actually feature a princess until the last 30 seconds of the movie.
And no witches at all.
Don't think they have Christmas Day either. No, it's just generally Christmas themed, but I'm not sure when Christmas is.
There's just decorations.
Yeah.
And no for our gay listeners. There's no switching or any versatile action at all.
That is explicit anyway. We don't know what's going on behind.
I didn't even know what it means. That was meta.
It's a funny joke, trust me.
I figured it was funny.
And just for a bit of context, just to see where we're all coming from, Jelly is an educator of young minds.
Mm-hmm.
Beck, a comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy, a stay-at-home mum. I hate that term.
Lucy is a very talented musician.
She is.
She's here to give us that take as well.
Which is a shame that there was no spontaneous musical number.
Yeah. I know, there was, and I thought there would at least be because of Vanessa Hudgens.
Mm.
Only one 30-second song at the very end of the credits where she sang Jolly Old St. Nicholas.
With Gunner from Nashville, which we'll get to. And I'm a TV writer and Neighbours podcaster. For what that's worth, we open The Princess Switch.
Well, can I just say, like, the only reason I'm any way interested in this, like, I didn't watch the Christmas Boyfriend or whatever it was last year. The only reason I'm watching is because of the switching and not like...
Because you like the Parent Trap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just obsessed. Yeah. Like that or Body Swap stuff.
Hilary Duff.
Just so good. It's just...
Lizzie McGuire.
It's Lindsay. So tropey and I just want to like bury my face in it.
Oh, Lucy
so
just good. Referenced the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yes. That's a Body Swap.
Does it do what?
A twins movie.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know
have
that.
A twin, did
she goes to Italy and there's a famous singer in Italy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Who looks exactly like her.
Remember Minty? Yeah. I bet you watched
Minty. Oh, Minty. I wrote Minty down.
Good.
Minty.
Yes. Okay, right.
Good. Jelly, you've got to explain Minty.
Minty was mint.
Mint was
it was an Australian.
ABC
and it was a UK co-production.
Yeah, and it was this only one season in an era when all Australian kids' TV shows were like, oh, we live on a planet and we all have purple hair. And it was this super...
Sounds so
quite,
bad.
Quite like, mainstream and earnest little show. It was like a comedy about a girl who, something like she was a pop star.
Yeah,
in Britain, but she was also something. And it was just like really quite knowing and funny. Uh-huh. Like
it's essentially if Hannah Montana was two people because the pop star wanted to live a normal life.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
And the normal girl wanted to have a fun pop star life.
So grass is always greener, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bloody hell. That's the real message.
Yeah.
So the opening logo, the Motion Picture Corporation of America, definitely sounds like a legitimate business.
Yes.
Is producing.
Right, okay.
Not any sort of tax offset situation.
No. Hastily cobbled together kind of. Right.
Our leading lady opens the movie with Merry Christmas. That's her first line. Vanessa Hudgens of High School Musical fame, of Band Slam, I quite liked her in. And there was a movie called Beastly, I think she did.
Oh. Yep.
That wasn't mm-hmm. so good.
And
Grease Live.
Most recently, Rizzo mm-hmm. in Grease Live.
But she's also done a bit of Broadway. She was in Gigi. She played the main character in a big Broadway show a couple of years ago. One of the big old MGM-style musicals where they put her on stage called Gigi. So she was like on stage holding her own.
She has chops.
And she's also done In the Heights, the Lin-Manuel Miranda show that he did before Hamilton at some point. I don't think she was apparently really good.
I did look at her Wikipedia and most of it was theatre stuff before any acting. And
it's interesting, like out of High School Musical, Zefron was the fast, like he was number one with a bullet. But I remember thinking, you know, she's got quite a nice quality to her. Mm. But she didn't seem to be doing anything, but she's stayed the distance. And he's also done a body swap. Comedy, so bring it.
Which
together.
Was
with
17 again. 17 again. Don't revisit that. It doesn't hold up.
Thank you.
It's awful. And I got depressed and had to turn it off because it's like really woman-hatey.
Probo, yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
High School Musical, she didn't get much to do. She had to just be a, you know, vanilla milkshake, sweet as pie.
Always singing on a stair rail, like in the hallway, like and rubbing and having to go against the stair rail.
I am so beautiful, but I like maths. I know.
I'm a mathlete.
Therefore, I am complicated. Here she is. She has the perfect rom-com profession. She's a baker. A baker.
Right. Okay.
She has what Heather Locklear has in the rom-com The Perfect Man, where Hilary Duff plays her daughter and sets her up with Mr. Big.
It's got to be that or a florist.
Yep.
That's the two things you're allowed to be.
It's so cliched it could be they came together. That one with Amy Poehler.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I like Bridesmaids, because she had a failed cupcake business. Which is funny.
So true.
During the recession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her shop is called Stacey's Sweet Treats. So she's running.
It's thriving.
She's a small business owner, which is hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's not enough time spent on her successful.
Also, she's a young, like who has a thriving cup, like, sweets business. She must be like 25.
Well, she's driven, as we know. She likes to stick to a plan and follow it.
Yes.
Do what she sets out to do.
She probably had inherited family money.
And the fact that there's a man working under her.
Yes.
Like, he's not even the boss.
I did like that.
He's a sous chef.
Do they have chefs, though, in bakeries?
Apparently they do.
You're my sous chef in a bakery. I don't think that's how it works.
Sous patisserie? Patissier? We're away. Immediately. Don't even try and catch your breath, guys. There is a baking competition.
It really gets straight into it. It's like, here is a cupcake store. Okay, there's a competition and you're going to it.
The man at this point in the shop, mm-hmm. the man in her sweet shop, whose name is Kevin, I worked out after a long time, has entered his bestie in this international baking contest held in Belgravia.
At the behest of the royal family of Belgravia, the judging committee is pleased to invite you to compete in our 56th International Christmas Baking Competition.
Can you believe it?
Is that, it's not the same country as in The Princess Diaries?
Genovia.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I took that from you. I know that's your
property. I think we go in knowing that. Like, it'll never be Genovia. The great thing about Genovia is that it almost could have been Geneva, and I think in early drafts it was Geneva. The problem with Belgravia,
when you live in Melbourne,
is there's a Belgrave, which we all do. We are Melbourne gals. It's not
the most glamorous.
No, but it's also not clever enough to be Bulgaria, this country.
Oh, is there a Belgrave here?
There's a suburb called Belgrave that's very typical and mundane.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Belgravia.
Yeah, I misspoke when I was. So Beck is Queensland born.
Yes.
Currently residing in Sydney.
Yes.
But we've poached her to Melbourne for a while.
That's fine.
Lucy, where do you hail from?
Melbourne, then Townsville.
Reverse.
Also Melbourne and Darwin.
Yeah, but this movie immediately begins with the plot that's going to take them away.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, there's not even 5 minutes of, like, setup.
We don't
take
get...
who away? I couldn't remember her name.
Stacey.
Okay. And what about the other one?
Okay, Kevin.
He's writing the plot, that's why I went.
Blink and you miss the setup. So we don't really know if the... What's at stake? Like, we don't know if anyone, why anyone needs to enter a contest.
I don't know if they have to actually close the store to go or if she has enough staff to carry on.
That's the point, is because they tell her, oh, we've entered this competition, you're winning, let's just go. And she's like, I can't just shut my store in the middle of Christmas. Yeah. And they're really, this is the Devil Wears Prada aspect of this movie where they're like, why are you being so uptight? And she's like, I don't want to close my entire store that's busy at Christmas to go bake in Belgravia.
Beck, are you referring to when all of Anne Hathaway's friends in Devil Wears Prada are bitching to her?
Because she's working her hard.
She's like, I have to stay at work. My boss said I had to.
Yeah, they're like, you bitch.
Your Same values this are terrible.
This movie is like she's so uptight and like...
Why have you given up on your dream?
She needs to get laid or something because she has a schedule and doesn't want to shut her shop.
And this movie starts with Heather Locklear's dream in A Perfect Man. Her dream is to open her own bakery. That's all she wants. That's like her protagonist hero song. Mm. And then Vanessa Hudgens starts this movie already having achieved that.
But better go and leave and go to Belgravia.
So Kevin, her bestie, BFF, who we'll soon find out is friend-zoned, very heavily friend-zoned.
He's so handsome. Are we all on board with that?
Very handsome.
Sure, yep.
He's stunning.
The way I imagine the Babysitter's Club heroes to look. You know, they would always go on holiday and fall in love with someone. Or even the one who was the next door ones that they liked. It was just that.
He's like shiny.
And like calm when I look at his face. And
he's very calm.
Yeah.
Open. And I love that. It's because they don't want them to get together because there has to be the big plot point. They act like she's disgusted by him almost. Throughout the movie, she's like, ugh, Kevin. And I'm like, he's the most beautiful man that you've ever seen. And I'm like, as if you've never thought, wow, Kevin's handsome. And I was like, oh, I'm foul.
And we learn in like half a sentence, well, because his daughter swans on in. Mm. He's like 9 years old or something. His daughter, Olivia, Kevin's daughter, and so we learn she's the goddaughter of Vanessa Hudgens, and his missus has left.
And so how old was Vanessa Hudgens when they had that baby? She must have been like, your godmother is 12.
They do that.
Oh, all right. Oh. But they must have been like grown-up friends. Fact They're not related.
Yeah, she said they went to high school together.
Okay.
He's had a crush on her since high school.
All right.
Now, an even bigger exposition dump. Also, she's not surprised that they've entered her into a competition.
Yeah.
How would you feel that someone putting Harry Potter's name in the Goblet of Fire kind of thing?
I told you not to put your name in your
I just thought of another thing is that they're like, we've entered this in this baking competition in Belgravia and you're going and they're paying for all of us, including Kevin and his daughter.
Yeah.
And they're all like, yep, that seems normal. And it's like in I Still Know What You Did Last Summer where at the end you find out that they'd remember. Does anyone say on board with this?
I'll get there.
Brandy and... Jennifer Love Hewitt win a competition to go to the Bahamas because they answer the radio call and they have to name the capital of what's a what. And at the end, you find out they got it wrong. It was just a setup to get them to the island to murder them. And this is what it feels like it is. It's like we've entered this competition to go overseas, all of you.
Yeah, I think I entered that competition on my phone the other day and now I just have a lot of spam.
Yeah.
So I used to work in a radio station running competitions. Like, and you had to write a lot of terms and conditions. It was the bane of my life. And the prize would never be... two additional tickets.
Yeah.
It would be you and a friend.
Yeah.
You plus one get the holiday. But
it's not a holiday. It's a competition. Who's paying for bakers all over the world to fly?
Well, I thought it was they made the finals. Like she became a finalist. They entered her secretly.
How?
This is because of the British Bake Off and all that being a thing. You could conceive that maybe
how did
it would
the food get to Belgravia for them to test?
No, I think she just sent a recipe and a photo. Yes, she said it was. They sent the recipe.
I got my friend. A recipe. I almost did this with a friend. They were auditioning. They were auditioning for what's the Australian one? Australian British Bake Off.
The Gabbo. That's what it was.
Australia's Great Australian British Australian Baking
GABO. GABO.
Meanwhile, I watched the Canadian one the other day.
How was it?
Because Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek hosts it.
How was it?
It was fine.
Okay.
So my friend Suzanne has a normal day job but is an amazing baker and has a Russian husband and learnt all these Russian cakes. And I was like, you are going to be a baking star.
A big success in Belgravia. Like that kind of quasi, not really any specific European country.
So I went through her Facebook and helped her pick out like cakes that she'd made. Like she'd made the Kremlin in Russia out of cake. And helped her put together. But I didn't, like, behind her back pick up pictures of her cakes.
On the other hand, I actually would love to enter you in a competition because then you would stop worrying and it would be done.
And
you wouldn't have time to, like, try and torpedo yourself. And I'd be like, haha.
And you wouldn't know if you didn't get it.
That's a good plan.
I would love you so much for that. I had a friend recently enter me in a competition. I didn't get it. But she had to write the application. You just have to nominate someone. She did it and she, like, outsourced the references. It was the greatest gift I'd ever been given. If Kevin had done that for me, he would have been able to get it so fast.
Only then, though, not because he's incredibly handsome.
Ew.
Gross. I'm surprised she can bake looking at that disgusting face.
But they didn't even give him glasses.
But they did lump him with a kid.
That's true.
And an estranged partner.
And a pink apron.
Now, she's recently broken up, Vanessa Hudgens, with Paul.
Paul. They were dating for 3 years and Christmas is important to them and she's not ready to get over it. That's all you need to know.
Why would Christmas be important to a couple?
For 3 whole years.
Also, we run into him fairly soon, don't we?
45 seconds later. Yeah.
Well, you've really got to get over Paul.
After she first meets that magical old man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got some questions about him because I have no idea what went on with him.
Me neither.
What was his purpose?
To be tropey, because magical old people in Christmas movies is a thing.
Did he cause the magic?
Yeah. Or was he just observing it? He's the Seinfeld of the magic world.
There's a bit later on where he says, but how could I get here from Chicago?
Exactly.
Like, just like they did. Like they flew sometime in the last week.
That was exactly what I was going to bring up because.
Do you just think they don't script edit these or they're just writing them on the fly?
I think they're not script editing because.
That was the funniest moment because she sees him in the street.
Wait, can you explain what happened?
She runs into this old man in the street and he's like, ooh, like vague magicry talk.
Don't give up on the Christmas spirit yet.
And then they start quoting John Lennon.
And then she's like, oh yeah, cool. And then when they get to Belgravia, an identical man is there. And
messier hair.
And she's like, did I just see you? And he's like, how could I get here? And she's like, I'm also from where we were and I'm standing here. So probably like that.
I think they should have made him homeless. If they had made him homeless, then you could maybe go, well, how did he afford to get over here? Or something like that.
But he just seemed to be a professional older man.
Yeah, who easily could have taken the same flight as them.
And he wasn't Santa. It's like they've gone, we can't make him Santa because XYZ did that. And we can't make him a homeless man because Christmas Inheritance did that or whatever. Yeah.
Like, he's nobody.
He's just
a man.
A twinkly-eyed man.
Meddling in other people's relationships.
He's Mr. Pink Whistle. Interferes again.
He looks 100% like Mr. Pink
Whistle. Who the hell is Mr. Pink Whistle?
He's an Enid Blyton character.
He's an Enid Blyton character.
Oh, my God, I'm so afraid.
Literally, the book is called Mr. Pink Whistle Interferes. And it's him interfering with children, like around things.
Getting up to mischief.
He's
half brownie.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was a different time.
Which is a magical creature.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not anyway, in the same way that Kevin's happening.
It can be hard to tell in his blood.
Anyway, so she then immediately runs into Paul or Peter, David, Peter, Craig, Paul, Mark, James, Luke, any of those names, one of them. And he is...
His villain's hair.
He's unattractive.
Yeah.
He's tall, which I think fools women a lot of time.
But I just saw Lucy's eyes go up as she thought about how tall her husband is.
I'm not saying all the time.
No, she was just working it out. She was like, are we good? No.
Yeah, that works, yeah.
Becky's right. You do have to just keep an eye out, though.
Yeah.
There can be a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
I think he's a similar type of look to Prince Edward, though.
Your husband?
So maybe she has a type. Her she has a type.
Yeah, that's true, actually. If he obviously, as he's standing there, a woman comes out of the shop and that he's got a new girlfriend.
And they start macking on and then immediately making Vanessa Hudgens feel guilty about her station and her Christmas plans.
Meanwhile, don't, as if you would make out, like, he's not even awkward about it. He's just like, oh, yeah, my girlfriend is here and in front of my ex-girlfriend. And they start kissing. Don't do that.
The trigger for her deciding, you know what, let's do Belgravia. is that the new girlfriend says, what are your Christmas plans? Mm. Are you doing anything special? And she's not, except for running. She could have said, running my successful yes. dessert business.
Yeah, that's the most successful time of the year, so I'll just be making a cool, like, 100,000. See ya.
Because I'll charge a premium.
I would have been like, come in, like, it's
we
really,
do gluten-free.
It's really busy, but, like, I'll give you a free cookie if you want it.
You're way
like,
too nice.
I can eat cookies whenever I want because I make really good ones.
Yeah, and meet Kevin, the handsomest man who's in love with me.
End of movie. But so this is the catalyst for her to go, we're getting on a plane, we're going to, I guess, Europe. Yep. They don't say where it is.
It's Europe-ish.
Yeah. There's this weird trend with these sorts of movies, and I do blame Princess Diaries 1 and 2 for going, it's got to be some whimsical place.
But I love that. I love fake Europe. And I know what's other fake Europes. I can't remember them, but they're in other things. There's Brigadoon type. You know, like, that's not fake Europe, but just fake not Scotland.
Because if you just want like snow and mountains, America has... Europe. America has a lot of snow and mountains. You could just go to like Utah,
but that or something. Switzerland, that area around there is meant to be like the heart of Christmas. If you're this one, obviously, but also that way you don't have to get anyone's approval to use flags, logos, anything. You just make the whole thing up, and you can whack anything up and be
not,
like,
not do accidental racism.
Yeah.
Well, and my boyfriend looked it up while it came on the screen earlier, and discovered they'd filmed partly in Romania.
Cheap.
It allows you to make up all sorts of things with the prince and royalty, and you can do whatever you want.
And I love it because it's like so random and dorky.
Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez's movie, which was one of the greatest productions I've ever seen.
What is it called?
Princess Protection Program.
No.
What?
Demi Lovato plays a princess from...
I've never heard of this.
From the small nation of Costa Luna.
Oh, that's
that one's not even Luna. Trying.
And
Selena Gomez's dad... plays someone who protects princesses from like danger. She's in trouble. She's getting stalked or whatever. So he brings her to his hometown and disguises her as Selena Gomez's cousin. And they've got to go to school together and she's the princess. Anyway,
it's amazing.
The greatest time. I'll buddy watch it another time. Something weird about it. It's like we want to have a mystical far off place, but it's got to be safe enough so you don't get freaked out by other cultures. So we'll make it pretend Europe.
Everyone speaks English always as well.
I think they definitely go with pretend Europe to amp up the Christmas factor, and then don't use any nice fake Europe in any way and just some functional municipal buildings occasionally from the outside.
Well, there's like one baddie with an accent.
But it's never going to be like the fake Middle East or like...
No. What are you saying?
Or fake India or something.
Well, I think Aladdin might be the fake Middle East.
But I think actually that is the Middle East.
Oh, is it? Okay, all right.
It's, they don't say what it is, but they don't go...
say,
it's Agrabah.
Sure, it's violent, place. But it's... What do they say? It's brutal, but it's home. And then they had to censor it.
Agrabah's just the town.
Cut that out.
Yeah.
No, I'm not Agrabavia. Yeah.
We're in Belgravia. We know because they've got some kind of Airbnb cottage. That Stacey, I do like that she's a little bit multicultural, Vanessa Hudgens. She plays Stacey De Novo, I guess nebulous Italian, Spanishy kind of gal.
What is her cultural background?
Well, perhaps Malgravian. Malgravian. Not Malgravian. Where's the...
Actually, you could...
She's like decidedly not...
Where's Princess Margaret from? So Lady Margaret from?
Montanaro.
Oh, Montanaro. Yes, she might be part Montanarian.
You could take any Victorian suburb, Melbourne suburb...
No, you can.
...and turn it into fake Europe. Because Lucy just did it with Mulgrave.
Glen Royale.
Essendonia. Mm-hmm. Okay, this cottage... Is it a... It's not a hotel. It's, no. Is it an Airbnb?
It seems like an Airbnb. There's... It seems like one room.
With a staircase.
And that's all.
With just one twist.
But usually in this movie you'd have like a beautiful hotel.
I know. Like... Oh, that's what I mean. Like their locations or whatever they are just so horrendous that I just assume they shot it in like the back lot outside. But they went to Romania, but probably for studio, I think. Not for exteriors.
Yeah, it was a Romanian studio.
Yeah.
But they didn't, I don't remember, but I don't think they really referenced the place they're staying.
Their little girl just says it looks like a gingerbread cottage, like Clara from the Nutcracker's house.
But you don't see it from the outside, you just see...
Clara from the Nutcracker lived in a really big house because they were very rich, that's the whole point.
You stupid little girl.
Speaking of things we need to buddy watch, clearly the Nutcracker movie.
100%. The other weird thing is the old man, Mr. Pink Whistle... Vanessa says to him, oh, he's talking about Christmas, and she goes, oh, wish I had someone to spend Christmas with.
Fucking Kevin.
Who are you with? What is wrong with Kevin? We need to talk about Kevin because
there's something about
and
Kevin.
Like your goddaughter, and she must have parents, and
they don't mention her. They don't do a backstory of like, oh, her parents died in a car accident. They
that's how she got the money to run the cupcake shop, I assume.
Yeah, I said it was inherited wealth.
Yeah.
But you're literally standing there with Kevin and your goddaughter, and I'm like, oh, wish I had anyone at all, any person.
We don't know his story. He might have no one.
He's with no one.
He's a single dad.
You're with people. He's with no one. And you're like, I wish I had someone.
And then I'm thinking it's not like it's a Valentine's Day. Like you don't have to have a lover on Christmas morning.
Correct. Go to a fucking soup kitchen, bitch. Like, suck it up.
And you're in Belgravia. You know what I mean? What are you talking about?
I'm going to be in Belgravia for the Christmas this year. Basically, I'm going to be in Munich, right near where all these places is.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Okay. And also, if she wished she had someone to be with, why didn't she go to Belgravia?
Then she almost gets hit and run down by the prince of the nation.
That happens in all of these movies. Yeah. It's like there's always some sort of almost collision or they're... like knock her out of the way or something, and that's how they first meet every time.
And then she always yells down the street like that's going to deter the bad driver later. Oh, then they have to go to Wembley, which confused me.
You know the famous Wembley in Belgravia?
Yeah, Robbie Williams packing out Wembley.
I thought maybe this is in London because then I was Googling Belgravia and there's like a county in London called Belgravia and a Wembley. But then... they get to the TV studio called Wembley Film Studio and we meet Brianna, whose backstory comes tumbling out in 10 seconds as well. She and Stacey were studying together at the Cordon Bleu fancy cooking school. And this was a little bit worrying. Lucy, do you want to talk me through what her implications were to Brianna?
That she slept with the teachers.
All
of them.
Essentially implying that Brianna boned the whole staff of the Cordon Bleu to get where she needed to be.
Which is last year's winner of the baking competition.
So let me get this straight. They're both American. They went to school in America. Where's Cordon Bleu? France?
No, I think you can study in America at the Cordon Bleu.
So they're both in America, went to a school. Is it like a college? You stay there?
It's like the...
TAFE.
It's like the NIDA of cooking school.
Which I don't know if that's the same for pastry, though. I don't know. But so she slept with all the cooking teachers. And now they're both... and then also won a competition in Belgravia last year. Now they're both in Belgravia.
I guess the winner defends their title and is invited back.
Right.
This was one of the most incredible situations, this Brianna situation.
But Brianna's evil. We're supposed to hate her.
Yeah, because
she feels threatened by Stacey.
Because she sleeps around, I guess. Yeah.
And she checks out Kevin because obviously she's human.
Now, finally, in our world, it's been nearly an hour. But on screen, it's been like 4 minutes.
We haven't even met
anything.
We haven't met the other Vanessa yet.
Now we meet the other Vanessa.
She's wearing a pink fake Chanel suit.
It's like the one that Marge Simpson has to remake over and over again in that episode. So she, like, they run into it. One drops her glasses and that's what they focus on because they can't have them both in the same shot.
Yeah.
And then they stand up and they see each other.
Who are you? Lady Margaret Delacourt, Duchess Montanaro. Wait, you're the one who's marrying the prince? Yes.
And they're both mildly confused. Like 5%.
But not confused enough.
No.
That they're identical.
They shrug it off pretty quick sticks.
They're literally identical. I can't emphasize this enough.
They're the same person.
It's almost like they're the same person. And they're both like,
It's funny.
Wow, we look alike. And then there's a weird scene they cut to someone, I can't remember who it is, who explains... yes, one of your ancestors went to America. And I'm like, that does not cut it. It's literally 5 minutes and they've gone from seeing their identical twin to being like, oh, yeah, one of my ancestors maybe went to America once. That explains why we're identical. It's the bananas.
It was disappointing and it didn't allow for enough mystery.
There was about 35 minutes of The Parent Trap where the two Lindsay
Lohans... I know, right? Thank you.
All of summer camp, the two Lindsay Lohans are like, what the actual fuck is happening? I freaked out. My name's Vaya. It's not very common. Okay, the only Vayas I've known in my life were my grandmother, who I was named after, and my other two cousins, both of whom were also named after my grandmother. And one day I was working on the reception desk at the radio station and another girl rang up and her name was also Vaya. Wow. And I lost my mind.
Yeah.
We started following each other on Twitter and she's like the other Vaya in Melbourne. We're now the two Vayas.
You are identical.
I get freaked out when I see photos of someone else in my family and it looks like me. You know when you like double take?
Yeah. Folks, they're identical. And they're like, huh, okay, now what? Now they're identical.
Now want to come and help me with my wedding cake?
Yeah.
Twin?
Identical twin who is identical to me that we've just run into each other.
I would be thinking about cloning because like Barbara Streisand did with her dog. So it's like it's a thing.
You would at least have a discussion.
Yeah.
Were we separated at birth?
Yeah. Yes.
Not, a distant relative went to America. That doesn't explain it. You have the same parents. It's so annoying. That really annoyed me.
I don't even look that similar to my cousins, let alone distant. I don't,
they would be like ancestors even. Like it doesn't make any sense. It's because I don't think they had enough technology to do the Lindsay Lohan stuff of them like interacting heaps. So they'll just like, we have to separate them as soon as possible.
I agree. But that's what I felt was disappointing.
But you know, one of them could have run off to the mirror, to the bathroom and been like, hey me, I can't believe what I'm going through. Well, they all, like the servants knew or whatever. The little girl eventually found out. So they could have vented to someone, gone, holy crap.
But nobody else is that surprised either. They're just like,
Well, no, Vanessa Hudgens did say there could be a sequel with a third one.
Did she?
She just sort of said it on a TV show. It's not actually going to happen.
There could be
it's
not canon. It's just an ancestor somewhere that's popping out Vanessa Hudgens's.
Very strong genes.
Vanessa's Hudgen.
So the fancy one is the Duchess of Montanaro called Margaret. And here's where my problems with this motion picture really kicked into gear.
Mm-hmm.
And they culminate in the accent, the British accent.
Mm. Stacey, I think we were destined to run into each other. Don't you?
I had some trouble with this one.
Well, although, as I said, how do you know what a Montanaran accent sounds like?
Maybe she was educated at boarding school in England.
That's maybe true. You think she's got an English accent, but she's got a Montenegro accent.
The only way it would be acceptable is if she said, I have a penchant for English accents, like a lot of YouTubers try and do British.
Like Josh Thomas.
No, that's just how he talks.
But unfortunately the problem is our theory goes out the window because she says at one point, do I sound like Downton Abbey?
Do I really sound that Downton Abbey?
And like, no, you don't sound like, because that's English accents. You don't sound like that at all.
Little Lindsay Lohan, the way she charmed our hearts was because
she was so good.
She freaking nailed that British accent to play Annie. Hilary Duff, as in the Lizzie McGuire movie, got to do the comedic Italian accent. Hey, Lizzie, you sound like Isabella. Which is just fun. Like, it's fun.
Can I just do a side note? I'm really happy Amanda Bynes is doing well.
Me too.
Did we all read that article?
Oh, is she?
Yeah, there was an article. She's sober. She's studying. She looks great. She wants to do another movie, but she's getting
did
like.
Did she ever do a switchy switchy? She did The Boys Switchy.
2019, Netflix should come a knocking.
Yeah, they should.
Get that Amanda Bynes comic timing.
Yes, she's one of the greats.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Have we talked about yet why she needs to
swap?
No,
because that's a really big
I would like to know because I actually still don't know. But I was going to mention quickly that I think Vanessa herself is doing Audrey Hepburn. I think that's what she's trying to do.
She's because it's the slightly Britishy, a bit clipped sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slash all the little girls that auditioned for the American production of Matilda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to get a little bit naughty. Yeah. No, honey, let's go again.
And one of the biggest travesties of this movie is that they have to switch to the bad haircut.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because the American one has the good hair and the princess has the bad hair, but it's shorter, so they have to...
It's the haircut that Vanessa has in High School Musical 2, which is, number one, the worst of mm-hmm. the movies, and number two, the worst of the hairstyles.
Mm-hmm. The hair and makeup and lighting in this show is just so awful.
No good.
Like, everyone looks... She looks kind of greasy all the time, but also, like, no one ever... like de-fluffed the hair right before they roll the camera. Like there's no final checks at all on this movie. There's always something sticking out and or it's flat on one side.
And there are two fixes they could have done for these two big issues.
Wigs. That's what real hair looks like. So okay. They clearly needed wigs.
Okay, wigs. Or what they could have done is the Duchess would always have an updo. She's fancy. She would have had a bun or a braid or something woven up into an updo. And sassy Chicago Vanessa. How do we know she's from Chicago, Lucy?
Because she's always wearing a hat with Chicago written on it.
She has the messy ponytail. Yes. And so when they meet, she could go, well, from now on I wear my hair up in a bun and no one will know.
It'd be so much more elegant than this fucking bad hair.
And the second fix is they could have set the whole thing in America and it could have been in like Alabama baking competition and then she just had to do a southern accent, which would have been adorable. Now, Lucy, can you please explain the switch to me, the reason for the switch?
Well, Lady Margaret has always...
Who's Margaret? Is that the other
That's Vanessa? The English name. That's the Margaret Montenegrin.
Yeah. Right.
She... Now, the reason she exists is she has been set up to marry Prince Edward, played by Gunnar from Nashville.
Yes. She just wants to see what a normal girl's life is like.
Well, all I wanted to do was to get to know what it was like to be a normal girl, even if it was only for a few days.
Because apparently she doesn't like the spotlight.
Yes. But this is where I think the flaw is, because apparently she's camera shy and no one in the city knows what she looks like anyway. So why can't she just go wandering out in the streets and discover what a normal girl's life is like? Why does she need body double?
Where is she from? What is she doing there? Who is she?
She's been arranged to marry.
Yeah, but
she's just come over on her own with her personal assistant.
She's by herself? See, in the prince
she's got with the lady.
Cecilia.
Yeah, but what? Which? Where? I'm confused.
So in the Princess Diaries 2, when it's time for Anne Hathaway to marry, they show her a slideshow of Tinder men and she has to pick the hottest one to come and be her husband. And I feel like we missed that step here for someone to go looking through the catalogue of available wives and choose this Duchess to marry Gunnar.
And as she even says, oh, it's about duty. And since my parents died, I'm not going to forego that duty. So I'll just marry who I'm told.
Yeah, I feel like we needed some setup from his side because all we got was like she's there and then he arrives and she just wants like 24 hours by herself. And I'm like, surely you could just go away for a night.
Also stay in your country.
I was going to say stay an extra day at home.
Yeah. It's so
weird. That flight back.
And she says you can swap because the prince won't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does international affairs a lot or something.
Yeah, affairs of state.
Yes.
And the only other obligation original Vanessa Hudgens has...
hello.
Original Hudge only has the obligation of touring the city until it's time for the baking competition.
And everyone's like, she's made a schedule and everyone hates her because she's got a plan.
She's dared to try and see everything in her 2 days that she's in Europe.
Which is, as someone who freaks out about a lot of things in life, I really appreciate on a holiday the planner.
Yeah. You're working in her fucking bakery because she's planned, bitch. Like, you don't have a bakery.
Or a job. She's got you your job.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so Prince Edward is leaving for a few days. They decided to do a switch 24 hours. And then Baker Hudgens gets promised that she can make their wedding cake, which will be a big deal.
Oh, I guess because, you know, everyone's got royal wedding fever since Meghan and Harry.
Yeah, we all know the wedding cake maker.
Did she actually get promised that or was that just a ruse to get her to come back to the palace to be convinced?
I think she
I remember.
I thought she just asked for cake advice. Like, can you come and help me decide? Come and
she was going to make it as well, but I can't remember.
The reward for switching was that the little Olivia could do the summer school in Belgravia School of Dance Academy.
But we weren't also shown...
Apparently Chicago doesn't have any good ballet schools.
And we didn't ever, number one, we didn't see Olivia dance.
No, she couldn't dance. She couldn't dance. That's why.
She clomps around in Ugg boots. She's not a ballet dancer.
There was also
sorry, Olivia.
There's really no dancing. We only saw dancing far away from her pretty much where she referenced it that she wished she could do it.
They were standing in the town square
Looking
at little ballerinas on a Christmas display. Yeah, she basically bribes her and says, your kid can have free tuition at this place.
And that's what I don't think that's her decision.
No.
She's
that was all part of the setup by the maybe Santa though, because he said, well, maybe there is a way.
Who is this man?
Mr. Pink Whistle.
Also, the itinerary for the baking squad before contest time is to just walk around the town square.
Yeah. It's baffling.
Like when I go to a new city, I'm like, well, let's go eat at a new restaurant. Let's go to the big tourist landmarks. Let's do a bus hop on, hop off tour.
No, we've only got permits for this one square and we have to film it today. Go.
And they also, they had to walk around for a bit and then practice at the thing making their desserts.
Yeah, they had to set up.
They had to set up.
And she wanted to set up early because remember, she's an organizer.
Yeah, what a bitch.
Yeah.
That is a running thing. I'm not going to let this go.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I have to cook a giant cake in a foreign country where I don't know what local supermarkets there are. I want to make sure that you have the type of flour I need.
Or like, do the PowerPoints work the same?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, can't we just walk around this square for another 4 hours instead of winning this PowerPoint fucking competition?
Which is the whole reason we're in the country.
That PowerPoint thing is huge. Like, what if, because the power is different even.
Well, turns out that wasn't even an issue.
No, but there was baking issues.
It's in my heart.
So here now with the two Vanessas we have in every classic movie of all time, an education training montage.
Uh-huh.
Where they have to exchange information about each other's lives to equip each other to be in each other's lives for a day. At no point in this exchange do they go, I will help you be better at your accent.
She just says it's great. She does, yeah.
Jelly, you've got the most thespian experience among us. Have you had to bust out an accent?
You want to make me do it?
No, I wasn't going to.
Have I had to bust out an accent? Clearly, yes, many times.
What sort of accents?
What do you want? No. All the accents.
Belgravian.
I use way more accents in my daily life as a teacher than I ever did in my brief and inglorious life as an actor because it's all just voices all day in the books and it's the best. So I've actually, I reckon, gotten better at accents since being a teacher than I ever did when I was an actor because you're working it out with no shame because the kids just think everything's funny.
And you do an English accent and the kids are like, who is this?
Yeah. Some of my kids will even be like, if I read a book and I try to do a few different English accents, they'll be like, oh, you've done that one. Like, they can start to hear. Yeah, they get picky.
Shut up, kid. Miss Jelly's only got a couple in her arsenal.
Yeah, I've run out.
An easy fix, again, when I try and script edit as I watch these things, is if earlier, before we had 4 seconds of exposition in this movie, we could have had them saying she and Kevin, maybe they met in drama club at school. And she was Eliza Doolittle in the class production of My Fair Lady. And
he was Dick Van Dyke bringing it full circle with bad accents. It really was. It is an Eliza Doolittle accent, isn't it? In that she's learned it phonetically off a tape.
Yeah. Then at least you could go, yes.
Yeah.
Her high school drama experience is coming in handy.
Literally the only thing they taught each other, the only scene I remember is the walking scene. They teach each other how to walk, which I feel like is
something a human already knows.
You're not on a catwalk. And, like, all she does is, like, slump to pretend to be the American when she slumps her shoulders like she's a hunchback and just walks like that and
swings her arms.
It's making me happy remembering they're learning to walk one in A League of Their Own, though. That's very special, with books.
And Princess Diaries does the books.
But I don't think the American Hutchinson walked badly before. The accent could have done some more work, in my opinion.
And then they never really slipped when they had the accents in the wrong lives.
Oh, God, that's such a lost opportunity.
Because then you had no charm of the fish out of water. You just go, well, she's nailing it the whole time.
The whole point of Lindsay Lohan is that there's a difference between Lindsay Lohan doing herself, Lindsay Lohan doing the other one, and then the one doing the other one doing the other one, and she creates three layers. Yeah. And if you can't deliver that, that's when I really stopped paying attention.
Incredible. I really am looking forward to the comeback Everything's Okay article that we get for Lindsay in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We meet Gunnar from Nashville.
I gather from this you're a big Nashville fan.
Well, Connie Britton, love, yes. J'adore.
Yeah, but then it was so much about the bad men that I just had to switch it off.
Yeah, when I say I like Nashville, it was like series one and two.
And the songs.
And the little girls. And then they became old and sassy and I was not interested. Gunnar, who gets to do his actual English accent.
So we find out the princess seems fine with marrying him, even though it's obligation. She just doesn't like him very much. They're both equally disgusted with the handsome men. Like, I know we're supposed to, like, okay, we get it. This is what's going to happen. But they're not just like, oh, like, I tried. I know he's handsome, but we're not really, it's not vibing. They're like, oh. Yuck.
Yeah, like, oh, he's nice in it, but we're more of a frenzy. Like, yeah. It's just.
So, and they're bewildered that either can see why the other one is attracted at all to either of these men. They cannot fathom it.
Then they swap. And this is where the hijinks happen, because the baker is now replaced with the Duchess and she burns the toast and bungles the secret handshake with the goddaughter, and then the goddaughter is on to it.
Can I just say, so they have the British one trying to cook breakfast for the family in the morning. She's made so much food. Like, it's a whole spread. It's pancakes and toast and everything. Little girl comes down and she's like, oh, you burnt the toast. Can we go out to breakfast? And she's like, yes. And they just walk away from literally piles and piles of food.
She's a British aristocrat. This is legitimate.
But also she doesn't even bungle the handshake. You think she's going to. And then she, like, I think she initially does, but then she nails it. Like, that isn't suspicious.
As we said, Olivia immediately works it out, but he's not surprised. Like, what the hell? Two ladies that look the same. She's like, oh, hello, imposter.
Yeah. This is normal for me, a child, to process. Identical women.
My mother figure has disappeared and now I have a stranger in my home.
She likes more.
And my other mother figure was already disappeared.
Because she's more spontaneous.
It's so crazy that a storyline in this is that the little girl just likes her non-godmother better. And so that's why it's fine for them to swap. Because she just doesn't like it. This is crazy.
Because the whole character flaw with Vanessa apparently is that she's unsentimental and unfeeling.
That's just because she has lists and she has a schedule.
She's not unfeeling. She couldn't get over Paul after 3 years of Christmases together.
So then the Duchess goes off on a day of Belgravian tourism, which involves crafts in the street.
They are actually trying to take off the Bavarian Christmas traditions, but they are amazing. Street after street full of amazing, beautiful things made, or it's like street festival life.
Painted baubles.
Yeah, someone into me in a Bavarian competition.
I have just bought my wardrobe for my trip to this area, and it is going to be so cold, but they obviously couldn't afford the wigs. They definitely couldn't afford the layers.
Now, Olivia straight up asks Santa for a new mum.
Mum for Christmas.
A mum for Christmas.
And this is where we find out that her mum's just pieced out of there.
Yeah, I assumed she was dead, but she just left.
So does she have to pay maintenance, or are they doing visitation? And is she going to see her mum at New Year's?
In that way, I guess you should be way more disturbed by what's going on.
Yeah, like the interloper.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have some really disorganized attachment.
She was a very lower class duchess.
Ooh. She was. Her clothes were all cheap.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It was distracting for me. And I'm not a high-end fashion person.
Like, Vanessa Hudgens' own wardrobe would have had better everything. And doesn't she have a hair person who she just could have brought?
Yeah.
Anyway. Even just a straightened bob would have been better than the frizzy, wavy bob.
I think she's pretty.
Same, but...
She is, but that's why we have...
Yeah, but you thought that Kevin was hot, so...
Please don't bully me because I like weird, quirky tastes of men.
Tastes.
So that's why we have high standards.
I like nerdy guys like Kevin. I like that sort of ugly, handsome like Kevin.
We haven't even seen him topless yet.
I
guess you like Abercrombie and Fitch models too. Yeah. Anyway, nobody looks cold.
No, not even.
Okay, let's just get to back over to original Vanessa Hudgens being in the Duchess's life. Also, it's for a day and she sees the shoes and the fancy clothes and is excited like she gets to keep it forever, but she doesn't. It's for one day, so.
It's like if someone took you to a fancy shop and were like, here's 10 things to try on for a day.
You keep using this word fancy.
Because I'm wearing jorts.
I do not think it means what you think it means. The scene where she's looking at her, like, two sad IKEA racks of shitty knockoff H&M shoes or whatever, TK Maxx shoes, reminds me of that scene in High School Musical where they go up to the roof garden that they didn't have the budget to fill. And she goes, wow, it's like a jungle up here. And it's like, no, there's three plants.
High School Musical 3.
Oh, yeah.
When they're preparing for the prom and they do, can I have this dance? And she does. She teaches Zac Efron how to waltz.
Oh, do they go back up there? I have seen that scene because actually the waltzing is very beautiful, but I don't think I tweaked that was a callback.
This is me wishing we were watching that instead.
That's a good number. I don't think I've seen the movie, maybe just that the dancings.
The spanner in the works is the prince stays in town, so has to interact with Vanessa Hudgens.
He's like, oh, after all, I cannot do this important business affairs or whatever
affairs
he's doing.
Affairs of state.
Affairs of state. What is he doing that's in such a hurry?
Human trafficking. Diplomacy. Like, it's human trafficking. Like, he's, like, doing bad things.
And doesn't Parliament shut down over the festive season?
Not in Europe. Okay. Too much.
Good. The other thing I wanted to know about this baking show is that in Australia, it's definitely off-rating season over Christmas. Like, only the shit shows are on over Christmas.
But that's one of the cool things about European winter is that it's so cold that the telly is amazing. Right. And all the good shows are on because, no one can do anything.
So maybe everyone's pumped for bake-off.
Yeah, that's why Christmas specials are a thing. Huge. Okay. Not some weirdo, like, Euro one, an off-brand Euro one.
It's not televised, is it? It's just
It's pre-recorded.
Oh, because
it was in a film studio.
Right.
So we have this event and we have the formal wear stairs reveal, as is the common trope in a rom-com. Stacey puts on a fancy dress and stands at the top of the stairs and then the love interest gawks at her from the bottom. Then there's mistletoe. Other thing is Belgravia is decked out like America, like in terms of everyone goes extra with their holiday decor.
There's like maids that are laughing because they're standing under the mistletoe and I'm like, why are you giggling at that? And then she tries to give Edward a kiss and he turns and she kisses his cheek because he's frigid bitch.
Here's an interesting – let's turn – now Lucy's trained as a music teacher. This moment where the Duchess is apparently proficient in piano and at this party, Gunnar from Nashville, like the crowd encourages her to play. Play, why don't you play something for us, like Beth in Little Women. And Gunnar sits down with her at the piano. And she's frozen up.
Because she can't play piano.
Yeah, because she's the real Vanessa Hudgens.
She still has gloves on as well.
And Gunnar notices that she's freaked out but doesn't go, oh, you must be an imposter. He goes, you're just scared.
He's very gracious.
And he puts his hand on her hands and miraculously guides her through a rendition of Carol of the Bells.
Yeah, but she only had to play four notes. Mm. She did, though, end up chucking a few octaves in there. Oh. But she could have got through just playing those four notes the whole time. It was a very good choice.
Oh, so that, okay.
From Gunnar.
Oh my gosh, this is huge. This is the best thing the movie's done.
So I think as long as she has some good timing, that's realistic.
Okay, good.
Not where she started playing it in octaves, but just that she could go bum, 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 bum again and again.
Because Gunnar was doing the finicky bit.
He was doing the do-do-do-do. Yeah.
I must say, Prince Edward, I didn't mind. He seems polite and nice. He's considerate.
And someone said early on it's the same hair as the ex-boyfriend. It is that too much volume villain's hair. So I was confused that I wasn't meant to like the prince because I thought it was too much volume villain hair.
Literally don't remember his hair whatsoever.
It was like a character who would have been like
the SS in a Nazi Germany movie.
Yeah, or I was going to say like, you know, like Wall Street guy, you know, what do you call it? In the 80s.
Like a Wolf of Wall Street man.
Stockbroker man.
we know the money's jobs.
Yeah, the money's
those
jobs.
Those classic villains.
You know, like a young Republican or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in this world, the blonde one is going to be evil and the other one's Kevin. But do you guys think, what was your opinion of Mr. Edward, his handsomeness?
He's not as handsome as Kevin.
And he didn't get to much to do. I actually tuned out when, because they talked business all the time.
Yeah.
And he kept not letting Vanessa have an opinion. And then later.
And that was the big point, is that as soon as she convinced him to let her talk with him about, like, help him with the
foreign affairs,
that wouldn't be her. That's the most romantic thing that he'd come up with.
Brexit. It's good. They're organizing Brexit.
It's good to talk to your partner about your work day at the end of the day, but you don't want them to help you do your job. No. You just want to vent about who annoyed you in the staff kitchen.
And also the time frame for this. Like, I know it's a romantic comedy and things happen quickly, but it's literally like a day and a half and they've fallen in love. And people always talk about lesbians U-hauling, but these fucking movies are like instantly they're married and, God, it was crazy.
But is that meant to be a callback to her organisational skills coming to the fore there?
Yeah, it would make her good at
evil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess. And how she's unfeeling and unsentimental. She can just get down to diplomacy.
Like Theresa May.
Classic rom-com hero.
The only other thing I was going to say about the piano scene was that I was really disappointed it wasn't Heart and Soul.
Yes. I thought it was going to be. I thought she was just going to whip out Heart and Soul or Chopsticks or something.
I feel like if the movie had had more moments like that, it would have pushed into the camp territory I desperately wanted it to occupy, and it consistently failed.
It needed to either be passable, like Christmas Prince, or just wackadoodle, like any of the Lacey Chabert ones.
I'm sorry. That's not a sentence I ever thought I'd hear.
Coming.
What are the Lacey Chabert ones?
She has made a little market for herself doing these types of movies, including one that she filmed when she was 7 months pregnant. Not the character, the actor. So that any time the character was on screen, they had to shoot her from the shoulders up.
Like behind the breakfast bar kind of thing.
It's for the entire movie. She's
the main protagonist.
Like CC on The Nanny, but if CC was The Nanny.
And also pregnant from the beginning.
The only thing Lacey Chabert... from Party of Five.
And Les Mis. Sorry.
No.
That was her original role.
Yes, she was young Cosette. Yeah.
The thing in me, not you, the thing in Party of Five is that she'd always pronounce her G's. Like,
yes.
She'd be like, something. Yes. It drove me mental.
Was that a Canadian thing?
It was wrong.
It was really pronounced.
It must be regional because they do that in some parts of England.
But it was odd because none of the other Salingers had it. No. So it's like, where did this kid pick this up? The moral of this story is that in a buddy watch coming to you soon, we will be buddy watching the Christmas movie that Lacey Chabert did with Mariah Carey.
Wow.
Here's the other thing that makes imposter Vanessa Hudgens special, the Duchess, the fake Duchess. She reads to children.
Because George Bush reads to children.
This is kind of the takeoff of Princess Diaries 2 when Anne Hathaway frolics in the street with the street urchin children and gives them all tiaras.
But they all, though, that's what they all do. Like, Prince Harry hugged a kid. It's a win.
All he has to do to clear the bar is not kick children.
And they're like openly racist to them or something.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, she's different.
She's a magical fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Her brilliant idea, they go to this children's home and she observes that there's no presents under the tree. She says, but what about the funding that you get from this grant that you get given, this charity?
And she knew that because of Foreign Affairs.
Mm.
Yeah,
because the ball that she was at and played the piano was in aid of.
Also, that piano playing got too much applause for the amount of piano that they did. It was like a children's concert applause.
But it was because they're royal, though. Maybe you have to clap.
Extra.
Yeah.
So they said, well, what about all the money we just raised for you? Where does that go? Why are there no toys? And they said, we've got to buy like toothbrushes and toilet paper and stuff.
Yeah.
So then she says, to the toy emporium.
Well, firstly, as we all know, thanks to J.K. Rowling, the one good thing she's done is that orphanages are terrible and that's where child trafficking happens, just to bring it full circle to the other guy. So, like, orphanages are bad now. They're not a thing.
Yeah.
So she's supporting a unsustainable and probably damaging, if not like actively criminal organization. Sorry. Also, I just have feelings.
Also, they're acting like giving toys to needy children at Christmas is the most revolutionary concept.
And can I just say, having worked in a place like that at Christmas, you get too many. You're like, take them home for your own kids, basically.
Is it this movie where they're like, oh, she's so much like your grandmother? Or is that the Chris?
Yes,
is that the other one?
There was one line of that, but never really followed through. And then I wondered if his grandmother was the old woman running the orphanage, but it's not.
Right.
She's not royal.
It's another cut.
So bizarre. I must admit, all the movies are all the Christmas movies are blurring in my mind.
But every charity that gets publicity at Christmas time is the ones where you buy a present for the orphanage tree.
They did that in Annie.
The whole point of Santa is that he gives kids presents. You don't need someone introducing this concept.
But people want to be in control of their giving, not just give some money and hope that they do the right thing with it. They want to choose the toy from Kmart, damn it.
And wrap. They want to wrap the present too. Yeah. They didn't pay the toy shop. And then they find the Twister mat in the toy shop and play Twister. But who was acting as the spinner?
That's it. The whole, it's all falling apart. But there's a close call at the toy shop because they've rushed to the toy shop to buy toys for the children. But then the other couple are now, Fake Stacey has she's going to go off script because she's the new cool go with anything type and has decided to also go to the toy shop. Wow.
Well, she ripped up the list. She ripped up their plan.
That's how you know she's good.
Which is a stressful way to travel.
Yeah.
Might as well stay in a backpackers.
That's so offensive. Like, yeah, you're going to be one star on Airbnb.
We're going to be doing that when we do our tour of historical Britain, just so you know.
We're not going to do the one where you share a residence. Room, private room? Hells no. That's a murdering happening right there.
They deliver the toys. Like, they wrap the presents and then they deliver them immediately and open them and don't even wait for Christmas. So the kids are still going to wake up on Christmas morning.
Is it Christmas Eve?
Is nothing. It Christmas then, though? Who knows? Yeah, because has Christmas been?
We don't know.
When is Christmas?
Well, I'm assuming the wedding wasn't going to be on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, and that's in a couple of days the whole time.
And I'm assuming she still wants to go back to her bakery to give out the Christmas baking, like to sell her premium Christmas cookies and things.
The timeline is very confused.
Well, they have Christmas on Christmas Eve in these places.
Yeah, but so when's the wedding going to be? On Boxing Day?
Like, people have got family stuff they've got to get out of. Okay. Oh, then Gunnar just drops at this children's home. Me and the missus are going to come around here every month forever. Like, without consulting his wife, his future
every
wife.
Every month is a lot. You've got a lot to do.
A lot of affairs of state.
Yeah, exactly. And once they have their own children, they're not going to make it.
They're not going to go.
Scott's tots in the office. Well, the American office, Michael Scott promises these kids that if they stay in school, he'll pay for them to go to college. And he goes back to visit them every year and they love him. And eventually he has to tell them that he doesn't have any money.
Meanwhile, back at the cottage, Kevin likes this Vanessa better because she hasn't friend-zoned him.
Because she's not looking at him with disdain in her eyes.
I just think it's a little problematic. He's like, ugh, she's put me in the friend zone. And then this exact same version of her comes in, but she's just not rebuffing him. And he's like, oh, my perfect woman.
So he came into her topless asking to borrow a toothbrush.
Yeah. She was like, job done.
Which is intimate thing to do. Also, did he not brush his teeth for the previous days they were there?
And he was like, what's wrong? As if he doesn't know that she's stunned at the sight of his shirtless body. Yeah. You slut, Kevin.
They go to put on a Christmas movie. And what Christmas movie do they select?
The Christmas Prince.
Her favourite.
Her favourite, which has only been out 12 months, so.
She should have been like, oh, this, our life's like this. It's weird. I guess she's not impressed by an identical person, so she's not impressed that a movie is her life either.
They all start falling in love. Everyone falls in love with everybody within 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's coming up to the baking contest.
Brianna's the baddie. She went in, cut the cord of their KitchenAid.
The KitchenAid.
Which was a mixer, not a blender, by the way. And so don't know why she was going to puree the raspberries in there.
Seriously.
That was a noodle scratcher.
So she made the sponge cake without using the mixer, but then she wanted to puree the raspberries in it.
But
I don't know.
It was all very confused because it was supposed to be the climax, but then she just had to puree the raspberries, but then it was fine.
They were like, it wasn't quite as smooth as I hoped, but.
Yeah. And then I thought maybe, well, they're going to come second then, but no.
Like, bring it on. Yeah. Second is just as good as first.
No. it just mildly inconvenienced them. That was the whole plot point. And then it was fine.
It was just half a second of suspense.
Yeah.
They had bumpy berry filling. Meanwhile, other Vanessa has just spilled the beans to the prince because she's worked out, like, they were going to go to swap back, but then they each find out that the other, they love the other one, and they're both horrified.
No, Edward's really special. He's thoughtful. He's kind. Your friend Kevin's the real prince. Oh, Kevin's just Kevin. He's one in a million.
Meanwhile, the queen knows this.
Oh,
because
yes.
Because of the secret photos taken.
Who's the queen?
His parents.
Edward's mum.
So we meet them in one scene earlier when fake Vanessa has to pretend to be the princess. And it's just mildly, like, they're just like, oh, she's acting a bit weird. Mm. And then the mum figures it out. And then they're fine with the whole...
She's like, he seems to like her. Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool.
Bearing in mind, you, that's where all the family money's going to be going.
Yeah.
Seems legit.
There's no payoff for anything. They say the evil butler guy, like, follow her around and see, and he does, and nothing happens. And then she just, like, the thing gets cut and then it's fine. And then they, like, she just tells him all yeah. the...
And they're just mildly shocked and they go, well, I did kind of love the other one anyway, so yeah. Okay.
And also, if it was a real TV set, they would have gone, well, let's just grab that other blender and you can use that. We don't only have one stand mixer on a cooking show set.
There was a thing, though. Someone did unplug someone something on the British Bake Off. It was a controversy. Ripped from the headlines.
No, they... Because he had to throw it away because she'd, like, moved it out of the freezer or something.
What it was? Was it there an unplugging? Okay, maybe not.
Anyway, the Duchess brings Gunnar to the TV set because also they have to judge this competition.
Yes.
It's only, like, an hour or whatever, but in that time, Stacey has cooked a 9-tier cake.
And decorated.
Dear.
I felt like it was kind of the most clumsy decorating of the whole competition.
Brianna's looked much better.
Better. And yeah. That other...
The third place getter, Zachary from Germany, Zachary Bagman from Munich, had a beautiful, like, vintage merry-go-round.
Yes. Yeah. And she just had, like, a lot of green and red.
Yeah. It was tacky.
Like, thickly cut.
It was no good.
It must have been really good raspberry puree.
Yeah, the raspberry puree was lumpy and she's still...
And did every layer have raspberry puree? Because you'd think in a 9-tier cake you'd want, like, caramel mud cake mixed with vanilla buttercream mixed with gluten-free layer. So in second place is Brianna from Beverly Hills. And in first place, Stacey from Chicago.
Yes.
Also, they were eating the slice of the cake that they tried, but the cake was uncut on the table.
Oh, my God.
So they had to make a 10th tier for tasting purposes.
That's like the cornue is so bad no one even noticed.
There was just such an anticlimax to it all.
He asks the Duchess, why did you pretend to be a normal peasant? And she says, I just wanted to be normal for a day.
You two switch places.
Yeah. You've been with Margaret for the past 2 days. And Stacey has been with the prince.
And then Kevin is, for a second, really pissed.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
Suitably, yeah. The only one.
Yeah. The final straw, really.
Like, if this was SVU, it was about to be a proper crime committed because you can't you can't be impersonating people and getting down to business with their love interest. But suddenly his daughter screams out, kiss her, Dad. Kiss the,
that's right.
Kiss the replacement.
Because she hates the other predator. One.
Like, seems legit.
He has... a moment where he switches gears from incensed that he's been hoodwinked and his love is firstly been gallivanting around with a prince, secondly put her doppelganger onto him.
Yeah.
But then the minute his daughter asks him to just go for it,
yeah.
Go get it, he just goes, when in Rome.
When in Bulgaria. Do as the Bulgarians do and kiss your friend's clone that no one is admitting that they're a clone.
Well, they already shared
toothbrushes. Wants you to. Yeah, it was all very bizarre. Furthermore, it's clear that the daughter hated the original one. And it's just like...
Yeah,
poor Stacey.
She spent her entire life going, Dad, that woman isn't into you. Go get a job at a different bakery.
Stop being such a cuck. I wish my dad was an alpha male.
Then Stacey says, I love Ed more than I've loved anyone. Oh, anyone.
We spent 14 minutes together.
Anyone. Any family member.
Any Kevin or her goddaughter.
Or aunt or uncle.
A favourite teacher.
Anyone.
Favourite Twitter personality.
Mm. I mean, fair enough. Okay.
Favorite Spice Girl.
If we met Prince Harry, and we basically did because he was swanning around Melbourne for a couple of weeks.
You mean you think you fall a bit harder and faster if it's a prince?
Maybe.
I reckon you would. You'd
just
tell yourself you wouldn't, but you would.
And then he's like, just move here. She's like, I can't. I have a small business.
Well, this is where I really felt that Meghan Markle parallels, because she just gave up her successful TV career to go and be a royal. So if you can give up that, you can give up your cake shop.
But was it that successful?
And I don't know. Apparently I didn't watch Suits.
So now she gets to, like, run charities and...
It's awesome. She has no job. And
she was just on Suits and it was over, wasn't it?
Yeah, and now
she wasn't even the main one on Suits.
She did a lot of it, though. I mean, forever.
He says, you can cook here.
We'll pick up your shop and put it here. He says something pretty much like that.
Exactly the same as in the Christmas Inheritance, where at the end he's like, we'll just bring your dad... No.
Christmas Prince.
Christmas Prince. I cannot keep them. There's a lot of, like, we'll just pick up a shop and bring it to a different country happening.
Yeah. No regard for the local customs. No. Like, is the Bulgarian community
ready? They're pretty Bulgravia. Good for, like, they're pretty good for, like pastry.
Yeah, but they probably have, yeah.
They have
gingerbread and
they have their own pastries. Do they want the huge American portions that she's going to be dishing up to them?
But also, wouldn't he be like, you can't care that much because you just left it at your peak time and be here to come home here and be on, like,
who's running it?
Grade reality show.
Did you bake a bunch of cakes and now they've gone stale and are you selling them?
Defrosting.
And then he proposes on the set. Neck minute, it's 1 year later. No, he proposes but he says, think about it for a year and then meet me back here and we'll get married.
Then you have known me. Like, that's going to go badly.
Let's spend 24 hours together and see how you feel.
And then a year-long engagement and then we're back this time next year for the wedding.
The wedding was... very low key. They were just still standing around the lounge room getting married.
And the local urchins were there.
She said, so now you're a real princess.
And her accent was not great either, that kid.
It is even worse than the one I just did.
She tosses the bouquet, Stacey, Princess Stacey, and the Duchess, who is a common lady now, catches it. And they say, what are you doing New Year's?
Kevin says it.
As because they're so fast and loose. They don't have to make big plans for a whole year of engagement.
You can't plan a wedding in 6 days?
Well, that's true. That's spoken like a true Stacey.
Exactly. A Kevin will never love you.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
But I'm confused. As we're always taught in all of these things that, like the family wouldn't just be cool with you swapping people. Like, you can't just do that.
Well, that's why they killed them off and got... You know, they were dead.
But his parents are still alive that he's going to become she's going to become the princess of.
And no, like, the mum really liked her, though. Yeah. The grandmother, there was quite a few moments where she was going,
I know, but it's like custom. Like, this is what this whole thing is. And then you're just like, what a swap humans is the basis of this movie.
But they look the same and they might be related.
But no one has. Oh, no, now we're princess switching.
It gets me into dark, weird headspace where I start thinking, would I accept a clone, you know, just because it would be better than nothing.
Like, if you left right now, Jel, and another girl, say,
that's
another
a bad
lady.
Example, because I'm barely present.
Another lady came here and was like, I am here to teach your class, to live with you and be with your friends. I'd be like, but you're not sassy like my friend Jelly. And
in Doctor Who, they cloned David Tennant and so Billy Piper got together with the clone and was like thrilled because actual David Tennant, Doctor Who, is dead.
It was aloof.
But yeah, but it was like, that's just a stranger with the same face.
Yeah.
I would be, I don't know if I would feel the same way. But they didn't, I guess that's the whole point.
We've had discussions about if we'd have sex with our own clone.
Who has had that discussion?
We, is it me and all my friends?
Oh, my God. And?
No, I don't think so.
It's weird and gross and it is part
don't
of the...
Don't yuck my yum. Yeah.
It's part of the plot of...
Did they do that in Orphan Black?
The time traveler's wife.
Right.
the book, the book and movie.
Never got through it.
He goes back to, it's not his clone, it's just him in a younger life.
Yeah.
He time travels back to like 16-year-old him who's sexually curious and helps him out.
I have no memory of that
what?
Bit.
What?
What?
Because it jumped around so much, I was in and out.
Yeah.
Do they put in the movie too? Does Eric Banner?
No, you can't really.
He can give himself a reach around.
But the problem with this movie is that the message is you shouldn't change or grow. You just swap with someone who has the life that you want.
Yeah, no one changes, grows, or learns anything the entire time.
No.
Hopefully Olivia learned some ballet eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like Olivia was doing ballet at the wedding or anything. Like, here is the special dance I prepared.
They couldn't afford Olivia dance double. Come on, we all know that this is true.
It's so sad because Baker Stacey, she's not baking in her new life as a princess.
No.
I think she actually made the cake because the little castle on the top of the cake was clumsily made and really reminded me of their cake in the competition.
She's been waiting all year because they wouldn't let her do any baking. She's like, I'm making my damn wedding cake. Far out.
What's the other one doing for a job?
I guess she's running the bakery.
She can't
bake. Can you imagine?
She's making.
She's a hot mess.
Maybe Kevin's gone up to being not sous chef. Mm. Yeah, and she's
doing toast,
serving the. Oh, she can't. She burns toast.
Yeah,
she had a year to learn.
That's canon.
I didn't know if she could learn that.
It's canon that she can't.
Okay, what we have to do? What we have to do now? Like in the baking contest, we have to award third, second, and first place for this movie. Who would like to go first, Beck?
Okay. Third place is Prince Edward for achieving the lowest standards I could set for a man in a movie. And
which are what?
Not being openly misogynist. Even though he's a prince.
And having some musical talent.
Yeah. He seemed considerate. Second place, oh God, this is hard. It has to go to American Vanessa.
Stacy.
Chicago
hat.
She's from Chicago. And number one is Kevin.
But he's so great.
Because, like, I really like an underdog and someone who's struggling and ugly and, like, it's
the ugly duckling storyline.
Yeah, I really like that she saw through, like, how gross he is. And decided to give him a chance, even though she could have been a princess. She, like, went with this hideous mole. And I just think it was really nice.
Lucy?
The moment.
Third place to Cecilia.
Is she the super nanny-looking one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the super nanny-looking one, netball captain, who is the Lady Margaret's personal assistant / nanny /
wet maid, nurse.
Who knows what in the future.
Yes, thank you for bringing that one up. She has potentially ambiguous feelings towards Lady Margaret.
Towards both Vanessas.
Yeah. In that kind of British boarding school, we all know what was happening sort of way.
And you could, like, morally could have a threesome with them because they're at most distantly related.
And you knew about it.
Like, you can't, people cannot judge you for it even though they're identical because they're only just like some relative 100 years ago went, so yeah. It's fine.
Second place to Lady Margaret, yep. Vanessa Hudgens as Bulgravia, no, as the Duchess of Vermont, Montenegro, for the time that she jumps over the horse, which we didn't talk about, but she just tries to get on a horse and she just flips over the entire thing.
Yeah, we flip over the
horse. They cut it really quickly so you don't actually see her land on the ground, but it was just a funny bit. It stuck with me.
And first?
First place to Mr. Pinkwhistle for magically travelling from America to Europe in a week.
To wreak some kind of unknown Christmas mischief.
And he didn't come back.
That never pays off.
He wasn't at the wedding.
He didn't come back at all.
He was at the wedding. He was, and he looked knowingly to camera and then walked off.
Jelly. Joint third spot is the two talentless hacks who are responsible for this, the writer and the director, for personifying white male mediocrity in the arts in every single way. And you know, even though it's a cheap movie, that they still got paid shit tons for this, while none of my female writer friends can get a job. Third place to them, because that's what they do, be shit at things but still get prizes anyway. I tried to find out what one of them had done so I could make fun of it, but it wasn't even good bad enough to make fun of it.
That's what I wanted from this movie. I wanted it to be good bad enough, and it wasn't good bad enough.
And not camp enough, except for the occasional horse / piano playing moments, which were great, but they needed but more.
It took up 12 seconds of screen time.
Second place to the location scouts, who somehow took everyone to an incredibly cheap, like crippled by debt country that should have beautiful ruins lying around everywhere, and just showed the outside of like basically what looked like a fake like motel castle. I think it was a real castle, but not a good one, and like a few sad squares. And then like just what looked like the outside of like the Birthdays and Marriages. Like they just kept showing that one Birthdays and Marriages building. You just know that they covered up a sign on the wall that was like registration or something. The production values were also bad. So like
even that second toy prize emporium in there, had no racks.
None.
Just a and large shoes. Room with some toys in it.
This film had a cinematographer. Like someone thought about the lighting. Anyway, I'm not going to give them anything to sell too bad. And it's a tie for first between the little girl who couldn't dance but had great hair and was super cute, who got in there and gave it a red hot go, and the lesbian.
The handmaiden.
Yeah. The complete, like the only person in that movie who was having a good time while filming it was that actress who was in on a joke that no one else, including Beck, was even in on.
I can't believe I missed it.
She was coded so hard.
I moved to Melbourne and became straight for a week and I watched all these movies and I missed it.
It's a scene where they are sitting on the bed and she's turning the bed down and the other woman is saying, I can't believe this is what Lady Margaret wears to bed, while she like is wearing like a negligee.
She's wearing a satin robe.
Yeah, satin robe.
It's outerwear.
And then she's touching the bed like Hays Code style, like we can't get in but I can touch it, I can stroke it. I think she was having a bit of a laugh. I'm done.
Third place who has to run Stacey's sweet treats while she takes
oh my god
and a 1 week jaunt
at Christmas
to Europe during peak shopping season. Second place,
I don't know.
Is no one going to throw anything to Paul Fudgens? I really should have given her first.
I gave an American one.
Stacey and Margaret are each on second.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, I will give one of them. Which one? The one that spoke the least amount of British. So, Stacey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same actor.
Yeah, but I'm going character. She had a harder job to do. At least when she was doing the fake British accent, it was meant to sound fake. And first place, two. You know what? Yeah. I'm giving first place to poor Brianna because she was living her best life at uni.
Yeah. Slut shamed.
Just trying to get through cooking school. She was trying to let off some steam.
And how many cooking teachers are there?
Yeah. And her cake was amazing.
She got ripped off.
It was gravity defying.
So she was clearly studying hard at cooking school and getting some action.
You're so right. This would be so frustrating. Imagine her fucking works her ass off, gets these rumours about her, even though she probably was working hard, makes the best cake, then Hudgens swans in, takes the best cake prize, has the handsome helper, and then becomes a princess for doing nothing.
Check your privilege, bitches. Yep. So,
Brianna's the hero of this story.
Yeah. Yep.
She looks like the way they dressed her was so much like the kind of villains in like Beethoven, you know, like they always were pointy and had like red hair. Yeah.
She's like an 80s businesswoman villain.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what in Beethoven, like David Duchovny, the yuppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They hate women who ever made this movie. Yeah.
And she'll never have children, you know.
She should get together with the nanny, super nanny.
That's next year, 2019.
Oh, yes.
Now that.
When we return for them to defend their title. Thank you. This has been the greatest day of my life.
What was the budget for this movie? Oh, Netflix never says, do they?
It's $4.
No, they just don't say how many watches it.
They wouldn't say because Vanessa Hudgens would feel bad and have to give the money. I just got another High School Musical royalty check. Do you guys want it?
They everyone on staff each got a series of dance lessons in Bogravia.
I'll never do a better episode than this one. I'm so grateful. Jelly, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I do want to have you back on to talk about 911, the most...
oh, my God. Is that Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No.
She's in season two.
What?
She replaces Connie Britton.
I could do episode one or two. And after that, it just got Trumpier and Trumpier. It
goes off the rails.
Can I recommend that everyone follows Jennifer Love Hewitt on Instagram?
Why?
Because she's obsessed with the most basic bitch humor. She got obsessed with pumpkin spice humor during Halloween and literally posts things like the most basic... joke cartoons with happy still laugh, laughing at this one. It's incredible. It's so good. Recommend it.
Thank you. And while you're there, follow Brockle Snitch on all the platforms.
Consistent.
Brockle Brandy. Snitch. Grab her book.
Ugh.
What?
Anyway, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to Kevin.
Beck hates praise. You're like Kevin. You're the greatest. You are your own Stacey. You won't
That's
see.
So true.
You won't see what's right in front of you.
So real.
And Lucy, your profile's locked like Jelly's is, but if people can just pass messages through me. Like,
Lucy has the cutest children.
Oh my gosh, they're divine. They're actual Christmas elves.
I agree.
And I'm Vaya Pashos. We are Buddy Watch Pod. You're welcome.